Welcome to the Football Podcast. This is your host, Mr. Number 9.
And this is the Fool.
This time we are going to have a preview because there's lots of things still going on in the off-season, which we're excited about.
Yeah.
And the, well, just looking at the off-season so far. All right. So far, other than Manchester City, who do you think has had the best off-season?
These sort of start reasonably the same, don't they?
Let's get it out of the way. Manchester City have overpaid for players, but they've gotten the players they wanted. And yeah, money's not really an object for Manchester City. And they've gotten to go through the preseason with them. There's probably maybe one or two players who they think are like, we could buy these guys in for squad or to buy as a young player to build up rather than as a starter. But I think the people they wanted as core players in the team to set up, they've gotten. And they look bloody good in preseason so far, beating Real 4-1. So they're definitely doing well. And I think Manchester United started with a hiss and a roar, getting Lukaku under Chelsea's...
I know, that was crazy.
And then getting Lindelof, which is they needed another strong defender. I think they still maybe need a strong midfielder as a holding midfielder, someone so that Pogba can actually go out and do what he loves best, which is do the assists or play on the left. They haven't yet done that. Michael Carrick and, to an extent, Daley Blind do that. But Daley Blind is probably not quite strong. He's a solid enough player, and Herrera can kind of fit in the central mold there, but we need someone who's like more in the Kante type mold. So Matic would have been a perfect buy, but I don't know that Chelsea are happy to do a deal with United after getting... But to be fair, Chelsea got Morata, and it's questionable who got the better deal there. I mean, Morata for 80 million versus Lukaku for 75. Would you have rather spent 80 million on Lukaku?
Yeah, well, I guess in the end, it's...
Like, the Morata is definitely the more versatile forward. Like, Lukaku can play on the left and lead the line. Yeah, and Morata can't really lead the line, but he can play around in that forward line.
But we've got people who lead the line already, assuming that Costa and Conte kiss and make up at some point. But we've still got... Batshuayi, anyway, and he can do that role reasonably well.
Yeah, yeah.
So, in a different way.
And also, maybe Conte doesn't need a lead-the-line player, but then he really wanted to get Lukaku. So, and I think at the end of the day, Lukaku only went to United for maybe at most 10 million more than what Chelsea were willing to pay for him. And I'm like, 10 million? We had this argument. 75 million is definitely worth it for Lukaku. Like, we would happily take that.
Yeah.
And we were almost thinking maybe 100 million is where he's too expensive, but even then you're like, but the goals, like,
the goals, but expensive, what else can you get for that, but the goals? It really was, at that sort of price, that, you know, at that theoretically high price, that's where it starts being weighed up, or what else is out there, what else can we get at that? Can we get that?
Everyone's happy. Lukaku's happy to go to a big club that's in the Champions League. Everton are happy to get 75 million and spend it on lots of good players.
Yeah,
The only people who are probably unhappy are Chelsea.
And that was our own fault. I mean, we're the ones that sold it to Everton in the first place. We could have stuck a buyback clause in that transfer at the time. And no, we're not going to want him back. What's he going to do? And then, now we want him back. It's like, just when you sell players, if you think they could possibly be worthwhile.
Apparently Mourinho wanted there to be a buyback clause, and which would have meant the actual buy clause would have... Everton's buy clause would have been lower because, obviously, buyback clauses are relative to how much Everton are paying. It can't be lower than... They were like, no, we don't want to go into that. And to be fair, a buyback clause would have expired by now. It's about 3 seasons, so...
We probably would have brought him back earlier with the buyback clause, but...
Potentially. Yeah. And Mourinho apparently was keen on letting him go, and he said that he didn't blame Lukaku for going, I want to go and play first team and be amongst the thing here.
When Lukaku left Chelsea, it was for perfectly fine reasons. Yeah, okay, he could have... You know, it would be better as a Chelsea fan, he stayed and fought for that position. But if he was like, no, I'm not going to get enough starting time, I want to go somewhere where I'm the starting first pick forward, it's me, I go out there, that gives him more field time, which gives him more eye for national selectors as well. Like, that's
and
fine.
I think it was the better decision for him, because I don't think he would have displaced Costa as a first-choice striker. And no. I think his development wouldn't have gone as far as it has with him going to Everton.
Yeah, yeah. No, and it definitely was better for him. It was, as you say, I think the same with the deal. It was better for everybody involved, other than maybe Chelsea.
But Chelsea got Morata, who is also a fantastic player. He's untried in the Premiership, so they've spent a bit more getting him in. And that's also because I think Real are happy to sell Morata. They wanted to get Mbappe, and Morata wanted to leave to play first team football, which is good. He arguably didn't want to go back to Real, but they had a buyback clause with Juventus, and he had no choice.
All right.
But to kind of go back, and he got told he would be allowed to fight for a spot, but come on, you're up against Gareth Bale and Cristiano Ronaldo.
Exactly. Though I see here on the main page here of SoccerNet that potentially Bale's going to Man United.
Well, apparently Man United have been trying to get him for a decade, which is true. And he ended up going to Spurs instead of United when he was at Southampton. And then he, similarly, Aaron Ramsey, who was at Southampton, was apparently doing a medical at Man United when he got a call from Arsene Wenger going, yeah, I'll buy you.
All right.
And given Ramsey's injury problems, I wonder who got the better end of that.
Yeah, well.
Now, that being said, Everton have done really well. I think arguably as well as Manchester City in this off-season so far.
Yeah.
I think they've bought the right players in the right areas. They might get in Nocio, whose name I can't pronounce, from Manchester City, potentially on loan or with a buyback clause. And that's very similar to the Lukaku deal, where he just goes to Everton, starts and plays and grows as a player. Because at City, he's not really going to dislodge Aguero.
No, no, exactly. So, yeah, and that's a good deal all round then. Everton get a striker back to...
Yeah, a striker who may not quite yet be a Lukaku, but who might actually got... Well, even 15 goals a season, a goal in a season is good enough as a starting season for...
I mean, even Lukaku, when he went to Everton, wasn't the Lukaku when he first went
there. His first season, he was like 18 goals or something like that?
Before he went to Everton, he wasn't really... He was showing glimpses, but hadn't really cemented, which is why Chelsea let him go. Like, look, you're good, you're showing it...
Because he had two seasons at West Brom where he did really well, effectively kept them in the Premiership by himself.
Yeah, yeah.
22-ish goals, 20-plus goals per season at West Brom.
Yeah.
But he was always the focal point at West Brom. And then he went to Everton and then did pretty well, 18. And then they were back at Everton, back at Chelsea. Because first season he was there was on loan.
On loan, yes.
And then Everton
came
were
back
like,
for
we're,
a season.
Yeah, came. And then Everton's like, well, we want to buy him. And Chelsea went, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Which I think is a... every club has those stories, right?
Yeah. I mean, when he played in Chelsea, he was good, but he wasn't outstanding. Not like at the other... He went out and loaned and did well, came back, played a couple of games, and like, yeah, you're good. We can see where you're going to excel, but there's other options that are...
Potentially that Morata's style of play fits Conte's system better. And I think Morata, if he actually does gel in the Premiership, is better fits Chelsea's team having all those attacking players around him. Because I don't think Morata needs to be the main guy scoring all the goals. He's very similar to Costa in that respect.
Yeah.
He's more than happy to just draw defenders, take people away from the midfielders who are well capable of coming in and attacking your Eden Hazards and Willians and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And he will just happily do that all day. And then when he gets chances to score goals, he'll just score goals.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be too unhappy if I were a Chelsea fan. I'm sure they're not unhappy, and I'm sure you're not unhappy to get Morata. I think if he gets maybe 15 goals, it would be a good season. And
He can only go up from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very good season, I think, for a first season sort of outing.
Whereas I think Lukaku's immediately expected to break 20 goals.
Well, he's been doing that fairly regularly, so...
And arguably he's going to get better supply at United, but also he's going to get more defended at...
Yeah, yeah.
And get that attention. And we'll see, because in theory, in January, Ibrahimovic is going to recover from his knee injury and he may decide to come back to United. Because they didn't renew his contract because they're like, you were injured now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was like, yeah, yeah, no hard feelings. I understand that. Yeah, yeah. And I'll and in 6 months' time, I think he is training at United to fitter. So.
All right, right, right. Well, there you go. Yeah.
Assuming he doesn't take the big paycheck in America, which, you know, fair enough.
Yeah, well, possibly be a bit more lucrative and enticing for him.
Yeah, yeah. So far, there's been a few things here and there. Chelsea look like they're going to buy a lot of players at the end. I think United may buy a lot of players at the end as well.
Well, we didn't buy really any players at the beginning, so we have to buy players sometime.
And I think that's the risky strategy, where I think Manchester City's way of doing it, and Everton's way of doing it, is I think a lot of time Everton may have actually paid a bit over, maybe between 2 to 5 million over on some of those players, but they were just like, get them in, get them into the system so Ronald Koeman can fit them in and get the team gelling and playing. And I think that will pay dividends. I think Everton are going to compete will definitely compete for a top four spot. Whether they make it or not is we'll see, especially since other teams that compete for that fourth spot, Spurs, have not bought any notable players and may sell players. Arsenal have bought a few, but I think they're still looking for players. Liverpool, after trying to get... I was just getting Van Dijk, and it just didn't work. It's terrible, and they had to end up apologizing. Is one of those things. So Liverpool definitely also need to buy players. Man United have bought players. They possibly need one or two more. City, everything now is basically cream on top of the cherry, and I think Everton, everything now is cream on top of the cherry. They've got the filling and, you know, put in the right amount of... put the ingredients right for the oven.
Yeah, I think so, yes. So it's just a matter of...
And, well, Chelsea, you could argue, were champions, so they already had a good team. And they've bought... They needed to get a striker for sure, but I think they definitely need another midfielder in that Kante mold, which is why I'd be surprised if they sold Matic.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if they sold Matic, actually. It doesn't seem really the best plan going forward, unless because you had someone else coming in. But even if you've got someone else coming in, like, it's not that they're going to be straight away onto it, so...
I hope they sell Matic to United, just because it gives us an extra player in that mold over there to play. He's not quite the mercurial passer that Daley Blind or Michael Carrick are.
No.
But he gives us a bit more physical presence in there. And he's someone who's tall and can head that isn't Fellaini, so that's it. once again, it'll be an interesting season. We'll know more next season once we know whom everybody's bought before the Charity Shield starts.
And then
we'll, again, once review it.
Transfer window closes.
Yeah, transfer window closes, and we'll know more about how every team's kind of done. But speaking of the league, the teams that are in there, do you see as struggling? Newcastle United have come back, and they should stay. I see them staying promoted. Swansea City, surely...
I mean,
and they are still already looking to sell their good players.
They are in a bit of a hole, really. I mean, the other promoted teams, Huddersfield and Brighton, I don't really see them staying. I don't know if they're going to be a pull off.
Brighton and Hove, look, it's amazing that they managed to get to the Premiership. It's almost like winning the Premiership for them. And Huddersfield, I just find it very difficult to see them staying in there. Really, really depends how they do in their first. And Brighton, once again, they've got a good squad for a championship team. I think they could easily get relegated and get promoted again.
Both Huddersfield and Brighton, that sort of is what it's sort of.
They're potentially at the stage now where they're too good to be in the championship and not necessarily quite good enough to stay in the Premiership.
Yeah, exactly. I don't see them doing a Watford or something like that, where they, you know, do well enough this year just to keep up and then use the money to improve up and up.
Every promoted team tries to do. But there are, like I said, there are some weaknesses amongst the teams in the Premiership, like who barely made it. Watford being one of them. And Swansea, definitely Swansea, up there. And Burnley as well. But though Sam Dyche is a fantastic manager and very good for what he's done. And even Crystal Palace, I think, a bit. So, but obviously, season's not started yet. No. We'll know more once things get underway.
And the other thing is those teams, and Bournemouth as well. They've been in the Premiership now a few, season or so, few seasons, so they sort of have that experience of how to keep up anyway. So that may be Brighton and Huddersfield, you know, up, down, back up again in a couple of seasons' time. Mm. Maybe the time when they stay.
Speaking of the championship, what do you think about our teams that got relegated into the championship last season? Because I could very easily see Sunderland coming straight back up.
Yeah.
And probably. Potentially Aston Villa as well. I know as much as you loathe them.
Yeah. No, they're not really a championship side.
Well, there's plenty of other sides. And then Cardiff City, I think, could also go up. Fulham.
Yeah.
Teams you think about going on, they're possibly a bit too good to stay in the championship. Maybe even Wolves. But I think at least two of those teams that got relegated last season, Sunderland and Aston Villa, are going to go back up.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially if Aston Villa managed to get a new owner. And maybe even Hull City might go back up.
Yeah, who knows? But as you say, there's some reasonably good teams all down there.
Yeah.
A few of them have been up in the Premiership and not, you know, in more recent times.
Well, looking at this Championship table, the only teams that have not been in the Premiership before are Barnsley, Brentford, Bristol City, Burton Albion, Millwall, Preston North End, and that's about it. Less than 10. So a significant portion of these guys have been in the Premiership.
Yeah, exactly.
So it doesn't mean anything.
No.
You could have a debutant team, much like Brighton, and back in the day, Bournemouth came back.
Yeah.
And heck, back in even longer times ago, when Stoke came in, and now you can't imagine a Premiership without Stoke. No.
They're normally, you know, they're doing well enough each year to
and like you be need, well and you know you need to pick their players in your fantasy team.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Where would more fantasy be without Stoke?
Yes, exactly. Like the backbone of the fantasy team, nicely priced, but you know they're going to perform.
Yeah, and they'll like play every game and get all the minutes. All right, that is it for us. I hope you enjoyed that. Thank you very much for listening, and we look forward to seeing you again.
See you next time.